has to be one of my favorite clips of all time, and I say that because that was the very first movie clip I ever showed in a worship service many, many years back. This is back when I had two VCRs in my living room. I borrowed a friend's, and I'm like queuing up stuff with the VCRs. The video editing has gotten a lot better over the years, but it's what started off showing videos on a Sunday morning. I did it that one time, and I guess I saw the way it connected and kind of got hooked from there on, and so that's just kind of become, I guess, my thing when it comes to, but it all started back with that clip. Because you've got Seinfeld, which at the time, just when I showed it, it was back when the show was, it just finished recently at that time. It was the number one show on TV back in the day when everybody watched TV. Now we just stream and everything else, phones, but back when everybody watched shows on a Thursday night, that was the number one show on TV. And it wasn't a Christian show, it wasn't on the Angel Network or faith programming, it was on NBC. And it was a show that was made by non-Christians for non-Christians, but they devoted a whole episode to that storyline, where Elaine has a boyfriend who is a Christian. And the whole storyline, the premise of it was basically, if you truly believe what it is that you say you believe, why in God's name do you not share it with the passion that would reflect what you truly believe? I mean, it's a profound question to think about. That a lost person would look at you someday and go, if you really believe this, why haven't you shared this with me? That's really what the creators of that show and the cast was saying with that video. In this series, we've been talking about church and the role of church. We started off the very first week talking about how when Jesus was asked what's the most important thing, he said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so we talked about how that reflects, that's what our logo is all about. It's those four interlocking hearts of loving God and loving others and loving ourselves enough to live a holy life. So we've talked about worship. We've talked about how God's called us to live in community, how we best express the love of God through our love of others. I think about the role of the church. There's a quote that I know Bill Hybels made famous many years back where he says, the local church is the hope of the world. Have you all ever heard that quote? A couple of y'all? I guess I'm the only one. And three. But what it means is simply, as I look around, if you look at the issues and the problems that people are facing, where can people find hope or healing for that? Politicians get elected and they say, government can answer all of your problems. I'm more with Reagan that the scariest sentence in the human language is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I always think to myself, when the government offers to help something, I think to myself, you all are the same ones who run the post office, right? Not really what I'm looking for as far as that line coming up Christmas season. So the government can't do what we think education might be able to solve if we just knew better or learned better, but there's no hope there. Where is truly the hope that somebody who is lost, hurting, broken, damaged, wounded, where are they ever going to find a sense of hope, of change? You might say, well, through Jesus Christ, you're right. And what is the physical representation, the manifestation of Jesus Christ and his presence in our community? It's the church, it's the local church. It's when you and I come together. See, when Jesus was here, he was filled with God's Spirit to be able to do miraculous and amazing things. And he looks at his followers and he says, after I leave, the same thing is going to happen to you when you guys come together as a church. You guys will physically become the body of Christ and be the physical manifestation. Somebody should know what it's like to be in the presence of Jesus Christ when they're in the presence of you as a church that gathers together and comes together. And I've said before, our goal has never been to be the biggest church in the city or the best church in the city. Our goal has always been is I want to be the best place for you to invite a non-Christian friend to come and hear about Jesus. I think there's no better place to do that, no better environment to do that, that you can bring somebody here and say, I want you to come into a relationship with him. And so we've been very diligent to try to remove every non-essential barrier between people and God. I get asked the question sometimes, what is a non-essential barrier? Well, denominational stuff. I mean, every one of us who grew up in church, we come from some denominational background, which usually creates some denominational baggage. And I never wanted to argue about the petty things because at the end of the day, we all agree that a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, all those, they'll all be in heaven. So why are we arguing about the small stuff? Why is that dividing us? Why is it something we have problems with? And so we're not going to argue about politics in the church. We're not going to all argue about the politics of America, at least not in here. I know some of y'all on Facebook and everywhere else do all that junk, but it ain't happening here. I've always sought to remove what I call the fog of Scripture, which is, do you ever have that feeling when you read the Bible, you're like, I don't have a clue what this is saying. I'm sure God wanted something from me out of this, but I don't understand it. I've sought to try to remove that so that you can be able to, so that I can expose and teach and give you enough background and insight that you can look at it and go, oh, now that makes perfect sense. And if you ever had that aha moment in here, just know that's like, that's what I long for. That's what I live for as a Bible teacher. Especially love it when one of you comes to me and says, here, he wants to share something, and like you're forcing your seventh grader to say something like, I really understood last week. That's awesome for me, when even like a seventh grader can understand it or even wants to come to church. We wanted to remove all of what we've called the religiously contaminated diseases that sort of flow through the generations, where we think that holiness is all about knowledge, or that the way to be right with God is to find somebody who we're more right than. We call that comparative righteousness, which then pushes me to try to point out all of your flaws while ignoring mine, come up with a list of sins that I don't struggle with, but maybe you do, and so I can say, well, clearly I'm better because I'm keeping the list. We said that's a barrier that keeps people from God, and is never what God intended or wanted out of us. This idea of, I want grace for me, but good luck for you. It's kind of the putty stand. Well, you're going to hell. And I'll tell you, it hasn't been easy. And it hasn't been easy because if what you're doing is trying to create a church full of Christians, it's a homogenous group. The problem, though, is if we're honest, Christians and sinners don't get along too well, right? Because the sinners, when they show up at church, make the Christians feel uncomfortable. I know, because I wouldn't say some of y'all, most of those people have left by now. They'll write me and be like, you know, there's somebody who's been coming to church for quite a while, and then they'll list out the sin which is on their list. Why are they coming? Because like you, they need Jesus. Well, don't you think they should change? Yes, you should too. Like, I don't know what you want. Where else are they going to have the opportunity? But sinners make Christians feel uncomfortable. But here's something else we all know. Christians make sinners feel uncomfortable. Probably the second scariest sentence behind them from the government, I'm here to help, is, hey, I'm a Christian, let me tell you about Jesus. For a lot of people, that's scary. But yet God has called us to be a place where both the prodigal son and the religious older brother can both come together in his name. And that's a very unique thing. And it's a very difficult thing, and it's a challenging thing, and it creates problems over the years. But from day one, we've sought to do and be just that. And I was thinking about our beginnings and where we came. It was almost, I guess, about 16 years ago, just a couple weeks ago, that we were told about this building that we're in right now. And I want to show you a quick video of how all that happened. This was a video that we made kind of right at the end of our first year, and I kind of just made some slight edits to it to shorten it up a little bit. But I would call this essential beginnings. If I just... Y'all laughing at when I had hair. It's like the older brother laughing about what he's done to his younger sister. Y'all are the reason I don't have it anymore. You know that, right? There's a lot of neat things in that video, though. There was a shot there of Aaron getting baptized, and he's getting married this next year, back when he was in high school, or like middle school or so. That's just kind of neat to see the growth of people over the years, and some of y'all were there, and some of y'all are like, I had no idea. It's been an amazing journey. We started with 15 people in a room and a vision that God had for us to remove every non-essential barrier. 127 people on that very first Sunday, and then a year, just about 8-9 months in, we were told that they were just going to give us this building and property, which was valued about $4 million at the time, which was beyond our wildest dreams. And if y'all notice in there, it didn't look quite like this back then. Had red carpet in here and a lot of white walls and everything, and we have just tore this place up to make more room, and over the past 15 years, it's been amazing. We've baptized almost 800 people. We've shared communion with about 10,000 or more folks over the years. We've fed hundreds of thousands of people, both here in Virginia Beach and around the world, given away, I'd lost track after $1 million. Once we give our first $1 million total away to missions here and around the world, I kind of quit counting after that. It's just been amazing to see what all has happened. And it makes me think about the story from the Old Testament with the prophet Elisha. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. And in the setting of it, it's Elisha is there and he's talking to this widow who's lost her husband. And she comes and says, I have nothing, I'm broke, the bill collectors are coming. And Elisha says, well, what can I do to help you? And, and he says, what do you have? What do you have that, you know, that I can use? And she says, all I have is just one jar of oil. And so he says to her, he says, go around and ask all your neighbors for more empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. And then go inside, shut the door behind you, and pour the oil into the jars. And as each one is filled, put it to the side. And so after Elisha left, she did just that. And she brought all the empty jars she could find from all of her friends and neighbors in, and she started to pour out. And this is sort of like that miracle of feeding the 5,000, same kind of thing. As she poured and brought another jar, it just kept on pouring and kept on pouring and kept on pouring. And so it says, when all the jars she had were full, she said, bring me another one. But her son said, there's not a single jar left. It says, and then the oil stopped flowing. The story is kind of interesting, especially when you compare it over to the story of the feeding of the 5,000, because there's no numbers listed in this story. It just says jars, just doesn't tell us what. But if she had 20 jars, how many jars do you think God would have filled? 20, yeah, easy math. Saw something about math in America right now. It's not doing so well. It was a Fox News report, and it was funny because they show this thing like, in this equation, 6 plus 3 equals 5 plus what? The answer is 4 because it's 9. I thought it was funny that the Fox News host felt that she needed to tell the answer to her audience. Just going to leave that out there. I thought that was funny. But anyways, math is a problem. But okay, so if she had 20 jars, 20 would get full. What do you think would have happened if she could have found 20 more jars? No, because God only had enough for 20 jars, right? No, if she had 40 jars, would have filled 40, and so on and so on. But basically what this story, it's a metaphor showing us this principle that we oftentimes think, I don't know if God can. I don't know if God is able. And this is a story that shows you it's never a question of what God can do or what God is able to do. Sometimes it's a question simply of our capacity, of what will we make available to him, what will we offer up to him, what do we have. You can't help but think in that moment when she saw what laid out, you think there was a moment where she thought to herself, oh, I should have asked the Fredricksons if they had another jar, right? We should have gone to more houses. We should have, you know, gotten a few more, because capacity really was the only limiter on what God did in the story, which is kind of an incredible thing when you think about it. And I say that because as I look around at our church, that's always been the thing. I look out at the parking lot that is full, and I look at the kids' classrooms. By the way, just sometime walk around the building during the service. I get to do that every so often when I'm here and Pastor Chris or Alex or somebody else is preaching. And every so often I'll walk into a room and be like, ooh, I don't know how you guys manage in here. And they're like, you're telling me. You know, or I don't have to tell you, just try to go to the bathroom at any point in your time here this morning. I highly recommend you go before you come and use the 7-Eleven down the street after you leave. Because we don't have a lot of bathroom space. And once again, I would say the only limitation to what God has done here at Essential has always been our capacity for what he's able to do. And it's not because growth is our goal. We've never really had a growth goal. Our only growth goal was ever to get over 200 so we could get to that place where we knew we would be sustained as a church and could plant. That's what I talked about last week. That was our only numeric goal. Rather, what we've done is just created capacity every time we possibly could. And so that's why we have literally knocked down walls. Like every year there'd be some project we would do to knock down a wall and make more space. And I don't know if you notice, if you pay really close, maybe go back and rewatch that video online sometime. If you pay really close attention, you'd be like, I don't remember there being a door there, or where is that room? We have so transformed and renovated this building literally to squeeze every last drop of capacity juice there is out of this building. We've expanded kids spaces, built classrooms. We've taken hallways and made them into classrooms. We've taken out bathrooms to make them into. Do you know there used to be a bathroom right in the middle of the foyer? You're thinking, why did you get rid of that? Because then we wouldn't have any room to walk into the building on a cold day. But and every single time we've created capacity, God has filled it again and again and again. And you know, I think about this space that we were given. The history on this building was about 30-some years ago, Kempsville Baptist Church, which is kind of up the road a little bit, they had a desire to plant a church out in the country, which is what this was some 30, 40 years ago. So out here in the woods where this was farmland, they bought this piece of land and built this building so that a church plant could come in here, and the church that was here was Salem Baptist, which went along for several years. And then they got to the point where they were struggling to make ends meet, and they heard about this new church that was down the street that we partner with all different kinds of missions organizations, and one of them happened to be a joint mission venture we had done with a Baptist organization. And they called us up, and that's where I shared in that meeting there. They just said, do you want this building? And I was like, well, we can't buy it. We don't have the money to buy it. We're literally a church of, you know, 90 to 100 people. And I said, no, we'll just give it to you. And it was the most amazing, incredible thing ever, just to be able to come over here and see what God, you know, has blessed us with. And it's been an amazing run here. But I would say it's with fear and excitement that I tell you that we have outlived and outgrown this blessing. And it's going to be time for us to create capacity and say the words that I never thought I would ever say. It's time for us to build. And so that's the direction that we're going to be going over the next couple of years. I say couple of years because I don't know if you've talked with the city of Virginia Beach. They don't exactly just say, do whatever it is that you have in mind, as the scriptures say. It'll take a while. It'll take a while. But it'll take every one of us to create a place for everyone that God has yet to reach. And that's a humbling thought that God, you ever thought and asked yourself the question, why is it that God even involves in me in this process anyway? Like, just do what you do, God. Just go and reach people. He's like, no, I want you to be a part of it. And it's a humbling thing to be a part of it. And for those of you who've been a part of somebody's salvation story, life story of being a part of, if anybody's ever shared a testimony about how they began a relationship with Jesus Christ and they mention your name in it, it's one of the most surreal experiences ever. To know that you played a part in changing the eternal future of somebody else. And I know there's some way God could have easily done this without us. But he doesn't. He always invites us into this. The plan that Jesus had from the very start wasn't for him just to be around here and be mega missionary and go everywhere. Because he could be in all places at all times and go everywhere in the world. That wasn't it. He says, I'm leaving and I want you now to go into all the world and to baptize them and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's a humbling thing to think that we get invited into this thing. So some of you are thinking right now, okay, what are you asking me to give? I'm not asking today. But that will be a piece of this down the road. You know, what we are experiencing now was what was given to us. In other words, 30-some odd years ago, there was a group of people that met at another church that sacrificially gave something that every one of us in this room had benefited from. I mean, just think about what you've experienced and what all has happened in this facility. It's funny because I look at other churches in town that are our size or bigger, and they all have these ginormous facilities, and I'm like, wow, it's amazing. And then they go, no, what are y'all running that little place over there? Same as you. that's because we have just literally stuffed this thing to capacity. This morning, I do want to give you all a shirt. So, y'all like that. And it just simply says building for every one. Because that's really what this is all going to be about. Because what we're building is not for you. It's not for me. Chances are we'll get to enjoy it for a while. But it's for everyone that's not here. We've always said this church doesn't exist for us. We don't need a new building. We in this room, we don't need a new building. We're just good like this. We can just put a rope up out front. As long as everybody didn't show up on the same day, because there's too many people that call this their church home. That's what happens when you have Christmas and Easter, when we have multiple services and people are in the aisles and people get frustrated because we literally, they'll show up and we have to turn people away. That happens twice a year when everybody shows up. But we really don't need a facility for our schedules. But the church has never been for us. We've always said the church, or we are the church, and we are here for the world. That's what God's intention is, that you would be the church. The church isn't a building. Rather, the church is a body of believers which come together and become Jesus Christ in the very midst of our city. And so we don't need a building. Everyone else does. Do you realize that 70% of the people that you work with, watch your kids' ball games with, deploy with, 70% of them, studies show, in our area here in Virginia Beach, do not have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ that will last for all eternity. So it's no wonder that every time we open up space, it gets filled. And I've been amazed at what God has done. But he's filled us to capacity again and again and again. So what am I asking you to do this morning? Number one is wear this shirt. I love the fact that y'all wear Essential t-shirts all the time. I remember I was at a party a couple of years ago, and I had on an Essential shirt, and somebody was like, oh, Essential Church, yeah, where is that? So I told them, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's cool. Oh, you got one of those on too. Oh, you've got on one of those shirts. And they walked around, and literally, I didn't notice this at the start, every single person at the party that we were at had on an Essential shirt. And almost every shirt was a different shirt. And she's like, two things. Y'all really love this church, and y'all really love shirts. Yeah, you're catching on, yeah. But I want you to wear this shirt. Every time you see it, go through the wash. That's a key thing. Every time it goes through the wash, I want you to find some time that week to wear it. And when you do, what I want you to do is I want you to just imagine when you're wearing it, and think about that word, everyone. Who is the everyone? Who is the person that you know that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? Try to imagine and picture somebody who you will never meet that's pregnant with kids this year, or kid. That will want to see that child to grow up in a different world than what they're experiencing. Just think about the teenagers who will grow up and long to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and be looking for a place to do that. And chances are you will not meet most of the everyone who will fill that place. Just like almost nobody from Kempsville Baptist ever knew who you were or ever knew that you'd be here. Heck, they weren't even building it for this church. They were building it for something they thought it was something else. But God had in mind and knew in his sovereign purposes and plans what would happen. So I just want you to think and picture what God will do in this place over the next 30 years. And then the next thing I want you to do is go look for jars. Now, some of y'all may have known this is what I was going to talk about this morning. Probably like, I think I figured it out. Yeah, you did. But I wish I had something and say, this is what we're going to do. I don't. This is very early. I wanted to bring you guys in early on the process because I said I'm, you know, both fear and excited. And I knew that the excitement wouldn't be able to be contained. And so I wanted to be able to share this excitement and this journey with you all. Literally just this past week is when we had a first real conversation with an architect. And what we're looking to do is in February have something back and say, this is kind of what we're looking at. And so in February, we're the thought is we would invite you all to come to some dinners. It'll probably take more than one since we can't all fit in this room at one time. So we'll have several dinners over the course of 2 weeks in February and be able to really look physically at what maybe we could do here on this property once the engineers and the city and the architects all have their say in things. As it guides and directs that process, be able to have an opportunity for questions and answers, and really together dream about what God could do here. But until that time, I just would say, you know, go and look for jars, because this will force each and every one of us to be stretched in our own capacity. And this is something I'll talk about over the next couple of weeks. There has been two times in my life where I have, you know, I give, I tithe all the time. There's been two times in my life where somebody has challenged me to give above and beyond, far beyond what I thought my capacity was. And both of them have been the most exhilarating, exciting experiences of my life. Did any of you all look at that video, the one I just showed a minute ago? Some of y'all saw yourself. I know a couple of y'all aren't here or in there. But for others of you, did you look at that video and think to yourself, oh, I wish I could have been there back then? That would have been a pretty cool Sunday to be sitting there in that classroom the day that it was announced that we had this new facility. Or to have been a part of that. I don't know if you want to be a part of pulling up the carpet that was in here, but everything else in that video besides pulling up the carpet was pretty fun. It was just an amazing, exhilarating thing. That first service in here, if you watch the video again, you'll see that this screen was all wrinkled. This is just a billboard vinyl. That's all it is. That is no high-tech piece of equipment. To put an actual movie screen was going to be like $35,000. The billboard vinyl came in at just under $300. And I said, you know, that sounds like us. And it took a while to get the engineering right to get that screen stretched out. But it was neat being a part of all those little things. There was a wall. Like, everybody who's sitting over there and there, y'all weren't even in this room because there was walls that were right there. And we've expanded out that capacity. If you ever looked at that video and thought to yourself, man, I wish I could have been there back when that happened, I would say to you this. This morning and this message and this time is going to be a moment that is going to be in a video some 15 years from now. And there's going to be hundreds of people looking back, wishing they were where you are right now. And once again, we have the moment to be able to be a part of something new that is coming into the next phase. And so I want you to go home and imagine and pray, wear your shirt, and ask God, say, God, how can I grow and stretch my capacity for you? Because you're going to be asking above and beyond all I could ever possibly imagine as possible. I want to invite you to step into that. That's why I said it's with fear and excitement. It's terrifying to go where God wants you to go. But here's something you'll find in Scripture. God will never leave you somewhere safe. If you feel comfortable and go, you know, this is easy, I like this. Either God has left, or it's like when you're hiking on a trail and he's 20 steps ahead of you going, come on, come on, you got to see what's up here. And he's calling you to trust him in faith. And so that's what I would call on all of you to do, to walk with me in this step of faith, of excitement, of fear into what God has next. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Can't tell you how good it was to hear you clap because I wasn't sure what your thoughts would be. So with that, let us close. Father, we thank you for all that you've done here in this building over the past 15 years. And I cannot possibly imagine, but would ask that you would help give us the vision to see what it is that you will do over the next 15 years into this phase and this step that you're leading us today. Father, that we may for you and your name and your glory increase our capacity for you to fill it with the lost souls of this community who desperately need you to come into a relationship with you, to have a loving relationship with you that they'll enjoy for all eternity. For there is nothing better that we could possibly do with our life and all that you've given us than to invest in something that will never die, never fade, will continue to bless over and over again. So may this next season not be consumed with buildings, but with a heart for the lost and the people, Lord, you long to reach. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.